Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Red Sox On Deck podcast, part of the Over the Monster podcast network. This is our 19th episode talking prospects. I'm your host, Bob Osgood, and joining me is prospect guru Shelley Verstrait. Shelley, what's happening? How was your fourth?
It was great. It was relaxing, you know, just having a good, you know, three-day weekend off work. I could just, like, relax around the house, you know, hang out with my dogs, my husband, cook, bake. It was a glorious, glorious weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, would have liked a little better weather in Boston, but we got one beach day in, so I can't complain. And, yeah, 4th is one of, if not my favorite holiday, so I agree with you. And, you know, we got the All-Star break coming up, and hopefully we can take a break for a few days. Or wait, the futures game is Sunday. The draft starts Sunday through Tuesday, and the Sox come back on Thursday, the only game on the slate. So you can take Wednesday off, I guess.
Yeah, I could just kick back on Wednesday, and that's going to be my little refresh.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I said it last week, but it would have been a good couple of days to just kind of, you know, recharge the batteries, but here we go, right back at it, and we got our draft preview. Throughout the episode today, we're going to focus on that a lot more than the news and notes. We'll talk about the news and notes a little bit at the end. Before we start, first, kind of some maintenance and reminders. So if you enjoy what we do, leave us a 5-star rating and review on whichever platform you use to listen to the Over the Monster podcast. We have this On Deck podcast. We have the Over the Monster podcast with Matt Collins and Brian Joyner, the Red Seat with Jake Devereaux and Keaton DeRocher, and the Precap Pod with Shelley and Keaton. And starting off with the draft, I would say over the last, well, I mean, we've been looking at this for a while, but the last few days I've really been looking at all the mock drafts that I can and listening to podcasts and trying to just refamiliarize myself and draw out, you know, what's going to happen at pick 1, 2, and 3 and which paths are ahead of the Red Sox at 4 and really the whole top 5 and top 10. And by the end of it, I couldn't figure anything out, and all I could think of was the Always Sunny episode when Charlie is yelling about Pepe Silvia with a cigarette hanging out of his hand and just kind of pointing in all different directions, arrows at 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't figure out what the hell's going on. What is your feeling on this draft, Shelley?
I mean, honestly, I don't know if it's just because this is like the, you know, the first draft after last year where it was like totally different, but it seems at the top 5, top 6, top 7 guys, it seems so clustered, and just I don't think anyone has a good feel of where really anyone is going to go, maybe outside like the first pick. And that, I don't ever really remember that actually happening in the last couple years. It's just a major just throw players up in the air, and who falls down first, oh, he's gonna go second. Like it seems so in flux, and that's what makes it so exciting, especially because, you know, this is like the highest draft pick, you know, the 4th pick that we've had since like the late 1960s. So this is right. Just so exciting.
Totally agree. And yeah, it's that combination. It's, we don't know what the hell is going to happen, and the Red Sox have a high pick. So that it's so interesting to me. And, you know, I've talked myself in and out of so many different players over the last week. And if we recorded this an hour from now, I'd probably have some different answers. but yeah, you hear, you know, that this team is in on this player, but they might go under slot, or they might take someone that they think they can sign for $1 million less, just because the two players are equal. So when you flip a coin, you go with the player that you might pay less to be able to spend more money later in the draft. And it's just, you know, you've got the high school and the college. So the MLB draft is just so much different than any other sport, where there's just so many different things to keep in mind. And it is hard to keep track of. So hopefully we can get everybody centered on this going into Sunday night's draft. Sunday night is at 7 o'clock for round one. Monday's rounds 2 through 10. And then Tuesday is rounds 11 through 20. I think kind of going through the top eight, you know, possible players that we think could be in the top five picks. I have eight that I've written down, and I'll go through those. We talked about these back in April a little bit. Jordan Lawler is a shortstop from Jesuit High School in Texas. He is committed to Vanderbilt. Marcel Mayer, also a shortstop, high school shortstop from Eastlake High School in California. He's a USC commit. Jack Leiter, right-handed pitcher from Vanderbilt. Henry Davis, catcher from Louisville. Khalil Watson, a shortstop from Wake Forest High School in North Carolina. He's an NC State commit. Brady House is a shortstop from Winderboro High School in Georgia, a Tennessee commit. Jackson Jobe, right-handed pitcher out of Heritage Hall High School in Oklahoma, is an Ole Miss commit. And Kamar Rocker, right-handed pitcher from Vanderbilt. So that is in no particular order of possible eight picks that we have brought up in the past and you see could go, maybe not all at number one, but you definitely see those names in different mock drafts in the top five. And those are the eight names that you see most frequently, I would say. Conceivably, any of those names could be in play for the Red Sox at four. Shelley, I don't know. I'm seeing more and more of Marcelo Mayer at pick number one in the majority of the mock drafts. I feel like that is a combination of what that they would need to pay with the number one pick of Lawler versus Mayer, but also just kind of upside versus floor, with the number one pick being for Pittsburgh. So it's Pittsburgh at one, Texas at two, and Detroit at three. So that's what I'm seeing the most. But I figured the first question, which we've hit on a little bit, but if you could say, I want the Red Sox to get this player if he is there at number four, what would be your answer and why?
My answer, I think it was the same answer that we had when we were talking draft, you know, a couple episodes ago. It's Henry Davis. I mean, I would love to get like a good pitcher, like Leiter or Rocker. But honestly, I don't really trust the Red Sox pitching development to actually develop these guys. And Henry Davis, like, he is a established college bat. Yes, he's a catcher. That being said, he's established college bat. He really kind of fits into the timeline of our other prospects in the system. So I really do think that he can contribute, you know, with this other core kind of group of guys that we have. He will be able to contribute sooner. So that is kind of what I like. And I honestly, I just love that bat. I am just infatuated with Henry Davis. So I'm really hoping that we take him. But I definitely see, you know, maybe a really high upside shortstop that could fall. You know, maybe Lawler or Mayer drops. I doubt it, but I wouldn't be upset if we got Lawler, Mayer, Leiter, Watson. Like, there was just like so much good talent here. But in my opinion, I want Henry Davis.
Yeah, and you see that. I think I've probably seen his name in the majority of the mocks. And we'll kind of hit on who we think that they'll end up getting. My answer to this is Jack Leiter, and that's who I've hoped they would take since 3-4 months ago, maybe a year ago. Back in March and April when we first started talking about this, you saw Leiter as the name that was number one on the couple of mock drafts that were floating out there. And for me, I mean, part of what you said, the window is now. Red Sox window started. I thought it was going to start next year. It started a year early, but I think that window where Leiter could be up as early as 2022, I think that starts next year. possibly this year. Part of it is selfishly, I'm impatient to wait for a high school player, waiting 4 or 5 years. But watching Leiter, I mean, he proved throughout that college postseason that he can pitch in big games. He didn't have really any blow-ups, bunch of quality starts, couple of dominant performances. And to go along with, you know, pitching so well in big games, he's got the bloodline and, you know, that lineage pick that we should learn from Toronto, what we've seen from Vlad Guerrero and Bichette and Biggio, you know, Al Leiter being a pitcher in the league. He's got that in his blood. You know, I would, conversely to what you said, I want to see them draft and develop the pitcher. Last one, you know, John Lester, 2002 in the second round. That's the name I keep bringing up as the last one that I would say that they drafted and developed successfully. But just watching Leiter, great fastball, good curveball, and I think he's got a chance to develop some of the other pitches, whether it's a slider or a changeup. And I think that he wants to be here. It seems like some of the scouting reports is, or the book on Leiter is that he might be trying to price himself into the fourth pick, that he wants to be with the Red Sox, probably because it lines up with when he's going to be up in a year and pitching for a good team from the beginning. So I definitely know the drawbacks. What, Tin Staff, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. And, you know, we'll see if his arm holds up and if Rocker's arm holds up and Job, who's a high school pitcher, all of those have that risk. Unfortunately, we're seeing that there's risk in every player right now, which is so many injuries in Major League Baseball this season. But, and with the ceiling for Leiter, he might not have that ace ceiling. Hopefully he does, but you see conflicting reports on that. But you know, and really the other point to what you make there with Davis is that if all things are equal, if they think it's the same player, that Davis might cost them a little bit less, or it might just be that Davis is there and Leiter is not there, or vice versa. So you know, if they spend a little bit less on Davis, that would be a reason to go away from Leiter, that could leave them some more room for some of their subsequent picks, similar to what they did with Nick York last year. So that's my case for Jack Leiter. But Shelley, if that player was not there, if Henry Davis is not there, who would you like to see them get if Davis is taken in the first three picks?
If Davis somehow goes in the first three picks, one, I will be shocked. But then also, there's still so much talent. Just having the fourth pick is just so great. So if one of like the first two, maybe three shortstops kind of fall, Lawler, Mayer, or Watson, I would like to take them just because, you know, I kind of prioritize bats over arms. But even that being said, if Leiter's there, take Leiter. Like, Leiter and Davis, like, those are my two guys that I really want. They fit the timeline of this current team, and the talent is there. So it's either Leiter or Davis for me. And I doubt both of those players will go in the first three picks. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to change that up a little bit. I think if one of the shortstops is there, Mayer or Lawler, I think that they should take them. I don't know that they will be. I personally think they'll go 1-2. But I don't want to rule out Kamar Rocker. And I know that late in the season, he kind of had a swoon with a lower velocity earlier in the year. And late in the tournament, he got rocked, certainly, in the last game, no pun intended, but he was throwing on 3 days rest, and he had done that a couple times late in the season, and it's so hard to know whether that the amount of innings that he threw this year was affected by how few innings he threw last year. And watching him 2 years ago, if you told me during that tournament when he was a freshman that the Red Sox would have the fourth pick 2 years later and Rocker would be sitting there waiting for them, I would have signed up for it any day of the week. So I just want to see, I would love to see a college pitcher and see that work out. And, you know, I think Mayer, Lawler, Leiter, Rocker is just my current list of how I personally would rank them in terms of wanting to see them with the Red Sox. In terms of what I think is going to happen, my top five, if I was doing a mock right now, I would say I think that Mayer will go first. And so that is, again, with Pittsburgh. And then to Texas, I would say Lawler. I would say Leiter to Detroit. I would say Henry Davis to Boston. And I would say Khalil Watson to Baltimore would be my top five guess. I don't know what you think or if you have a prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much think the same. The only thing is Detroit kind of scares me a bit when it comes to Leiter. They've taken a lot of pitchers, and their system is really, really in need of some hitting depth. And usually, you know, you shouldn't, you know, you should take like the best player available. But I could see them maybe taking like a Watson or a Brady House just to get some more bats there. So then if they take a bat at number three, then, you know, the Red Sox have either Leiter or Davis. And that is a very interesting decision to make.
Yeah. And you also see them linked to Jackson Jobe a little bit with that third pick, which, you know, you mentioned they have, and I do agree with you, they've got those three starters that are starting to come up, Mize and Manning and Skubal. So Leiter would almost kind of not be redundant because he could be the best of the bunch or as good as anybody there, but it's in the same time frame. But Jackson Jobe, being a high schooler, could be in that next wave or in the back of the wave that they have coming up right now, as he has just, I think, ceiling-wise, you hear more and more of Jobe being the best kind of long-term project, if you will. But he's a high school arm, so there's a lot more projection ahead of him, and it could be 3 or 4 years, but it seems like fastball, slider, curveball, changeup all grade really well, close to 70 on like three of those pitches. And you just see, I think Jobe has taken the biggest leap into the top five over the last 2 months, probably.
Yep.
So let's talk sleepers. Let's talk that. Let's talk beyond round one. If there was a outside of the top five sleeper that you had, whether it's Red Sox or for any team, who do you like later in the first round?
There was a guy that I really do like. I don't know if he is going to make it to the second round, but my guy is Michael McCreevy. He is a right-handed pitcher out of U.S. Santa Barbara. Honestly, what I like about him is he is a control artist. He has about 70 grade control. And that, coming just out of a polished college guy, that just really just, I just love it. He has above average fastball, curveball, about an average slider, changeup. So he's got about a 4-pitch mix there, but his control is amazing. And that is what I like, especially with, you know, MLB taking away a lot of the sticky stuff. I want guys who have a good feel for the zone without that stuff. And if he already has just above average command and he already has 4 pitches, some of them he still needs to do work on, but he already has like that 4-pitch mix. This is a guy that I really, really like. And I think that he is like a sneaky, maybe number three type starter. Sadly, I don't think that he's going to make it to the second round. Because he has been moving up in a lot of like mock drafts recently. But this is a guy that I really, really like. I hope that he lasts in the second round, but love the dude.
Yeah, and I was going to actually say the same thing when you talk about control. Now that the changes that they've made in the league and you see these hard throwers, some of the hard throwers just not doing as well. You wonder if it might shift back to the command and control pitchers, and especially a college pitcher that has that. So I'm all for that. And I've, even before they took away the sticky stuff, I've been starting to trend towards pitchers like that. You know, the Kyle Hendricks of the world, just, you know, watching George Kirby is a name that sticks out for Seattle that I think of like that. So, that's a great pick. mine, he's going to go a little bit higher, is Khalil Watson. Just the more, I don't think that he would be a Red Sox pick, but he's my sleeper if they were, you know, if it wasn't one of those four names. I think Watson could be the guy. Just he's had a ton of helium, if you will, in the last month or so. I don't think that he would go ahead of Mayer or Lawler, but if a team wanted to possibly spend a little bit less, if the Red Sox did go under slot, to save a million or two to kind of spread out that 11 or so million that they can spend throughout the draft, I think Watson is an option. His left-handed swing, power swing, is just beautiful. He just takes huge hacks. It's kind of a recency bias a little bit because Mayer and Lawler ended their seasons so much earlier. But Lawler has had, you know, a lot more video that has been coming out recently of his games that went later into the season. He's just got such a smooth left-handed swing, and as a left-handed hitter myself, I appreciate that. And, you know, just has faced good pitching and done really well with that. So, you know, he might be a higher risk, and a higher risk to stay at shortstop compared to Mayer and Lawler, that he might move off of the position. So, you know, you see those surefire shortstops who are going to stay at the same position kind of more at the top of the list. But I really like Watson a lot, especially the more video that I watched of him over the last couple of weeks. All right, so after that, right, they've got the fourth pick, and then after that they have the 40th pick in the second round, because there is, you know, there's the sandwich picks, the compensation picks between the first and the second round that there's quite a few of. So they pick at 40th in the second round on Monday, and then they pick 75th in the third round. Are there any names that have stuck out to you, or a position that you'd like to see them go after beyond round one?
There are two guys that I like kind of in this range. The first guy for me is a right-handed pitcher from East Carolina, Gavin Williams. His fastball is just unbelievable. Like, he added like a lot of velocity, and you know, he picked up 108 strikeouts in his 68 innings of work this year, which is crazy. That's a 14%, you know, K per nine. He didn't really walk too many people. He had about a 2.5 walks per nine. That is amazing. And he's 6'6". Right-handed, like, just an amazing fast. That is a guy that you kind of like, you know, you take a flyer on. And then there was another guy that I kind of liked, Peyton Stovall. This is maybe a little bit more of a flyer here. He's a high school shortstop. Honestly, I don't think that he's gonna stay at shortstop. I don't really think that he can. He doesn't have the range. He doesn't really have the arm. So he could probably move to second. But his hit tool is just off the charts. You know, Baseball America had his hit tool graded out at like a 65, and that is, you know, just really, really great for just a young high school player. He's committed to Arkansas, so he probably is going to take a little bit of money to get out of that commitment. But Peyton Stovall is a really interesting guy. Those are my two kind of, hopefully, fingers crossed, last two are pick in the second round.
Yep, and I was with you on Gavin Williams for sure, and. Yeah. Again, you know, he pitched into the regionals, so that was a pitcher I've seen recently, but really held his own against Vanderbilt in the game that I watched. I think went into the seventh or the eighth inning, throwing 100 the whole time, and just a great compete level. You know, it remains to be seen if he can be a starter, if his arm can hold up, but like you said, huge dude. 6'6", 255 he's listed at, throws right-handed, throws hard. You know, might not be the command control guy that I was just talking about, but I think that he is a great pitcher. If they don't go pitcher in round one, would love to see them target Williams. And then the other one is Jaden Hill. And I think that he's probably going to have a lot of debate and could be anywhere in the late first round or early to mid second round. He was the LSU right-hander who we talked about back in the springtime as a possibility in the top 10, but had a UCL injury, so had Tommy John surgery, but three really good pitches and an elite changeup, which you love to see as a 70 grade changeup on Baseball America. Same thing, 6'4", 235, so a big college right-hander. And if they do go with Davis or high school shortstop, I think one of those pitchers, if they fell, would be a great target that I'd love to see in the second round. And then round three, I was looking at Isaiah Thomas, who I think if you have the name Isaiah Thomas, you automatically have about an 80% better chance of being a professional athlete. and we've had Isaiah Thomases in Boston before, but he's someone that I've seen at Vandy a little bit, kind of a top of the order hitter, who just has had, you know, has a good swing, can be kind of a table setter, plays a good center field. And just kind of watching him in games, he was a player that I really liked, but it was not talked about as much, obviously, because of the pitchers and just how good of a team that Vanderbilt is year in and year out. But every time I watched him, he played really well. You know, it's hard for me to talk about the high school players that are further down. I haven't seen as much film on those players, so I've kind of looked at more of the college players in rounds two and three that interested me. But Isaiah Thomas, outfielder from Vanderbilt, is kind of my later pick there.
Nice.
What did we miss? What else did you want to hit on? We didn't, I think we mentioned most of the first eight players that we had on our list.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to Sunday. I mean, even if we didn't have the fourth pick, like, it just seems so jumbled that you don't know what's going to happen. So it's going to be a really interesting first round on Sunday.
Yep, absolutely. Can't wait to see that. And you can follow both of us on Twitter, BobOsgood15 and Shelly's at ShellyV_643. I'm sure we'll be, you know, retweeting plenty of takes throughout the draft, and looking forward to next week when we can talk about the players and just go beyond round one and dive into some of the later picks and, you know, start to look forward from there. So definitely an exciting time of year. We'll kind of hit on the minor league news pretty quickly this week. I would say first and foremost, Jay Groom, who we're talking about every week. I put him at the top because he's been excellent twice since we last talked. And last week, we put him towards the top because he had been excellent since we talked about him the week before that. So yeah, this is 3 weeks in a row, but he's had 9 strikeouts in 2 different appearances on both Friday of last week and then Wednesday night of this week, pitching into the 6th inning in every game. And 9 strikeouts in each outing. He's not walking anybody. Gave up 2 hits on Friday, 1 hit on Wednesday. And just watching all 3 of his pitches, his fastball, his curveball, and his changeup on some of the highlights from those outings, he really looks like he has everything going right now and has for over a month now.
Yeah, Jay Groom's kind of like development this year has been just surprising to me because honestly, I didn't really put a lot of stock in him. Like, I'm like, yeah, he's probably just washed up. You know, he's dealt with injuries. It's been so long since he's, you know, been just able to pitch. But yeah, like these last 3-4 starts from him, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm seeing what we drafted, you know, just a few years ago. So yep. Yeah, I've been really impressed.
Yeah, you have to think that we would probably see him in Portland at some point this year.
Yep.
Hopefully sooner rather than later. Tanner Houck, who has made 3 or 4 outings, appearances now at AAA Worcester, sounds like he's on track for a call-up after the All-Star break, and it makes sense. I mean, they have not had a starting pitcher miss a start really the whole year. I mean, you could argue that Hauk had two starts in early April, but I think one was in a doubleheader and one was just because Erod was a few days behind. But no one's actually missed a start. And they're going to have 18 games in 18 days, all versus AL East opponents starting next Thursday, coming out of the break against the Yankees. So if they're looking at October, there is, you know, a lot of pitchers that are on kind of a pace close to 200 innings between Eovaldi and Erod and, well, really everybody. So maybe they'll do a six-man rotation or something like that where Hauk pitches early on after the break and they try to, you know, what, 18 games divided by six is three. So maybe they use him three times in the rotation, and I'm hoping that he stays up for good, even if it's in a bullpen role. But at that point, that'll take us to August 1st, and we'll know a whole lot more about the team between the deadline and Chris Sale's impending return.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Hauk back up.
Tristan Casas is going to play for Team USA at the Olympics. Sounds like, you know, he asks, Jaron Duran is not going to be there, provided, it sounded like the Red Sox were okay with it, provided that they could call him up when needed. If they needed to call him up with the Olympics kind of being during, I think, the first week of August, and the Olympic team just with protocols and everything going on just decided to not include him, to not run into that situation. But Tristan Casas will be there. Two other notes. Brian Baio added to the Sunday Futures game roster. We mentioned Jeter Downs last week, so sounded like they're going to play a nine-inning game this year, and last time it was seven, which didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'm excited to see that game on Sunday. Baio is going to be one of 18 pitchers that will throw one inning on Sunday. He went only two on Wednesday night, pretty much to save his arm, since he'll be throwing on 3 days rest on Sunday. Enters the break with 49 innings, a 5-0 record combined between the two levels, 2.55 ERA, 15 walks, 67 Ks. So excited to see what Baio can do against some of the best minor leaguers in all of minor league baseball. And then last note, Connor Siebold threw three simulated innings in Fort Myers on Tuesday. Working back from elbow inflammation, he has not thrown an inning in a game all year, and we're at July. So, Shelly, you know, good to see Hauk and Siebold and just some names working their way back. Hopefully we see Edward Pizzardo at some point as well.
Yeah, it's really good, like you said, to see Hauk and Siebold, you know, because with all of the starting pitching injuries, you know, Mata and just all these other guys, it's just good to see a couple of guys back, especially with some of the starting rotation up in Boston kind of, you know, pooping the bed. I won't say who. Garrett Richards.
You mean the guy who's learning how to pitch again?
Exactly, learning how to pitch in game. That sounds like a great plan. So it's really good to see some of these guys, you know, getting back into throwing, maybe making back to the rotation. So yeah, it's all good.
All right, that'll do it this week. If you have any questions about the draft or anything that you want to hear about or that comes out of the draft this weekend that you want us to hit on next week, feel free to send us a message on Twitter. As I mentioned, ShellyV_643, and you can find me at BobOsgood15. And thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you next week.